Okay. So the question asked here is, why specifically did the Yevanim make a gezerah on Rosh Chodesh? They wouldn't have Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, Mila, Bris Mila, and weddings. That whoever got married,
Rosh Chodesh.
Everyone who got married had to go to the Hagmon, the chief first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it also Rosh Chodesh too?
Yeah, Rosh Chodesh. Let's start with the first Rashi in Chumash. First Rashi in Chumash says, why does Chumash Bereishis start with Bereishis? We should have started with HaChodesh Hazeh Rosh Chodashim, right? I.e., which is the first mitzvah Shenitztavu Klal Yisrael. It was the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael were commanded on. Yeah? Now the truth is, there's other mitzvahs, Pur Revu, Givanasha, right? There are other mitzvahs. But as a group mitzvah for Klal Yisrael, was Rosh Chodesh. So, L'chora, there's something to understand here. Why was this the first mitzvah? Why was Kiddush HaChodesh the first mitzvah Shenitztavu Klal Yisrael? Normally when something's a first mitzvah, it's very shorashi. It's very... So we all know that the Jewish people, Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is like the moon to the sun. That our purpose is to reflect God's will, to bring that Shechina, that divine presence, into the world. In a way that the world can accept that awe, the light of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's basically the concept of the moon and the sun. The moon reflects the sun's rays and brings to a world, right, a time of darkness, right, a little bit of light. Yeah? So darkness is always associated with night, associated with Golus. And klapei the latid lavo, as we say, latid, you know, we say Rosh Chodesh, latid lavo, the sun will be seven times, and the moon, right, will be, the moon represents, so to speak, the revelation of God's will in this world, and that's, so to speak, the purpose of the Jewish people. What's the Inyan of Rosh Chodesh? The Inyan is that we have, the Jewish people, the Beis Din, have the ability to decide which day, out of those 2 days, which day is going to be the new month. And that's a kviya, that's a fixing of time. We have the ability, so to speak, to create the time period. It's given over to Beis Din to create that time. Man's interaction with time, i.e. man or the Jewish people deciding on time. Now we're going to understand why time is such an important thing soon. So now let me explain. To understand a little deeper, we'll use a Gros. The Gros says, when we have Bereishis bara Elokim, what was the first thing Kodesh Baruch Hu kivyachol created? Says the Gros, time. The first creation, so to speak, the creation of Bereishis is the creation of time. So we have to, that needs to be understood, what he means by that. But now we can understand much better the Rashi. Instead of starting with Bereishis, which is God's creation of time, i.e. God's dominion over time, the Chumash should have started with HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, which is the Jewish people's dominion over time. So you see the comparative. Yeah, I'm not going to give the answer of Rashi because that's not what I'm coming to explain. But there is a comparative. Now, let's try and understand what is time. We know we have past, present, and future. Right? And God's name, we know, Shem Havaya, is Haya, past, Hove, present, V'yiyeh, and future. Okay. If you ask anyone, why is it that way? No one will give you an answer. So So it's brought down in Sfarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a tachlis, with a long-term purpose. Right? Whatever that tachlis is, I'm not going into it yet. What is he created the world with a tachlis, with a purpose. It then writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for a siba. There was a reason for his creation, a siba, for the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. And the siba is to legalot shmotav, to reveal his names. What does it mean? To lishtalem b'shmotav, to be complete in his names. Because you can't be, now this isn't from God's point of view, this is from man's point of view. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mitzideinu. You've heard that a lot in Yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
Mitzideinu. Like the Nefesh HaChaim says, or whoever says Mitzideinu, it's really the Makor is in Sfarim HaKadoshim. It's an earlier Makor than the Nefesh HaChaim. Then, because we can't talk about God Mitzadatzma, just thinking or anything about God, it means confining Him. That by itself is Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm.
So we can only talk about God from our point of view, in terms of our relationship to Him. So, given that, from our point of view, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to be complete in His midas. You can't be merciful, rachum, without someone to be merciful to. It's a lack in that midah. It's only in potency, in potential. It's not in actuality. The midah has to be revealed and has to come into expression in order for that midah to be complete. So God created a world, right, in order to be complete in His midot, so to speak, in His character. Okay, that was one siba. For the one reason for the creation of the world. There are other sibot, but we don't need to go there. So says it's brought down in this farim that when God created the world, lishtalem, it says lishtalem be pulotav, ve kochotav, ubishmotav. That's what's written. Again, three, as you were saying. So now, anyone who understands a little bit, what is it saying? It's saying that there's kochot. Kochot, strengths, mean potential. Right? Man's, the beginning of man's gilui, or koch, that we say, chochma means koach ma. The what strengths a person has, his potency. That's chochma. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. That's why chochma is a patach. It's an opening, it's a beginning, a petach, it's a beginning of a gilui. Bereshis is a base. Bereshis, right? Reshis is always Reshis Chochma. Yeah? It's the beginning, it's a gilui of a Reshis, the beginning of Chochma, the beginning of a gilui. That's what Bereshis is. It's a gilui of the kochot that come into form. You with me? What's called a revelation of God's potency to and his pu'ulotav, i.e. kochotav is potency, pu'ulotav is action. Correct? Okay. Kochot represents the past. The past is always the potency that has to be revealed. Pu'ulotav is the now, the action. Right? You ever saw a film, right? You know action instills. There's only action in the now. You understand what I'm saying? That's what action. So action, the revelation of the kochot into pu'ulot of those kochot, actions of this kochot, is the now. Shmotav, right? That is shmotav, his name. Name always means in Chazal, tachlis, purpose. Right? L'shem davar. You do l'shem davar, for the purpose of something. That's the tachlis, that's the future. So now that we understand this, we understand that past, present, and future is basically what? Is basically what? It's taking your kohot, your potency, expressing them in the now for a tachlis, which is the gilui of God's name. That's why when Aleinu Lishabech, we say, Hashem Echad, Beyom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. The tachlis in the future, that His name, God's name, will be one. There'll be a yichud, the gilui of the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Now that we know that, we understand exactly what this concept of past, present, and future is. Past is man's potency. Present is the expression of that potency, i.e. that potency comes to revelation, right? And then future is the tachlis, the eventual purpose that all these periods of time come to. So in other words, man's always involved in potency, expression, right? And then for a tachlis. But we haven't yet reached that tachlis. That tachlis is latid lavo, in the future. But it's always periods of time that bring us to that future tachlis. Right? So, why, you are asking, why is the present a moment? Because the gilui of a potency is only in a moment. And then it becomes the past, which is another gilui, and another gilui, and another gilui. You understand? In the Loshen of Chazal, it's called a zivug. A zivug is in a moment. It's a moment. There's a lot building up to zivug, but it's a moment. You understand? That's why the present is a moment. It's really, it's brought down in Sfarim that the connection, the male-female concept is past and present. Aye, the male is the past, and the potency, and the female is the expression of that potency. That's called the creation. That's basically the concept of time. The creation of time really is past and present. Future is something that you reach, gives tachlis, purpose to the world. So now when I say that God created the world, when He created the world, Gros says that He created the world, it was the creation of time. It's the creation of the world. Creation of time doesn't mean just time. Creation of time means the creation of Siba for the world. That the world has a potency and an expression of that potency with a tachlis, which is the future. That's the concept of creation of time. The connection between past and present, the way we're understanding it, is it has a Siba. So by definition, that Siba, that immediate Siba, which is Lishtalem, you didn't get the complete Shlemus, is going to be that Tachlis in the future. Now let me explain what Chazal means. Chazal, when they say time, they don't mean the presence of events. Because, for example, I'll give you an example. A person who's alive, he's living in time. Chazal don't say like that. Chazal say that a perosha, right, even if he's alive, is dead. What do you mean he's dead? Dead means he's not there, he's not living. That means he's not considered living in this framework, what we call time. And if whereas a tzaddik, even when he's dead, is called alive. He's living in this framework, what we call time. Now, what does that mean? The word for death, mace, comes from a verb, it comes from lamtin. Lamtin means to stagnate, means to still. Spiritual death is stagnation. It's not moving with time. There's no going from potency to expression. Because the expression of Arasha is not an expression of Shlemus. There's no Siba to that expression. So there's not the concept of Jewish time. The concept of Jewish time, the concept we understand time, is going from potency to expression, and expression of that Shlemus. That every period of time has to be Lishtalem. Lishtalem b'kochotav u'pulotav, for the tachlis legalot shmotav. To reveal His name, to reveal God's name, which is the unity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, His covet, whatever you want to say. You understand what I'm saying? When I say what the tachlis is, I'm really asking the question, what was the purpose of creation? Mm-hmm. When I'm asking what the purpose of creation, I'm not asking why God created the world. From God's point of view, I can't answer that. I'm asking from man's point of view, the real question is, what's the meaning of life? What are we living for? When I ask why did, what's the purpose or the tachlis of creation, I'm really answering what's the tachlis of me being here. So the Ramchal explains, I mean, it all comes from Sfarim, Kedumim, from earlier sources, but the Ramchal explains that the first one that we say in that Zohar, that Lishtalem B'Shmotav, to be complete in His name, i.e. to be expressing of His names and His kinuim, like Rachum V'Chanun, right? To be expressive in man's full... Man has to... His purpose in life, in that sense, is to be expressive of all of his innate kochot, of his innate strengths. That would be man's purpose. Says Ramchal, Lifnim Mizeh, and it's also broadened, that's also written explicitly, Lifnim Mizeh is God created the world lehitiv, to do good. I.e. the gilui of his kochot is to do good with those kochot, to bring out his goodness, lehitiv. The word tov, I explained, the word tov, this is ahead from Rosh Hashanah, the word tov doesn't mean, it means something. The word ra and tov mean something. Ra, you have ra, I don't like the word evil, I'm just using the word in Hebrew. Ra comes from the word ra'ua, broken. If you have a cup and it's broken, has a hole in it, right? It's no longer a cup. It's a dysfunctional cup. That's called a broken cup. Something which is broken is not functional. It's not living up to its functionality. That's called broken. You understand? So that means if a person's not living with his full potential, he's not expressing his potential, he can't express for whatever reason, that's called broken. That's called ra. When man doesn't express his proper potential, that's called ra. Tov, where we see the word tov, tov means lehativ et anerot. Hatova tanerot, we see by naner. That's to fix the wick, to fix it. Lahamido to atchunotav, that the Chazon Ish says, you binyan bekelin. To fix something is to put it in the position where it's revealing what it is. I.e., to fix the cup would be lehetivoto, to fill that hole. Now the cup can behave like a cup. Now the menorah with its wick and its oil behaves like a menorah. You light it. That's what's called lahatova saneros. Right? That's what you call it, hatovas and eros. To fix something that it's ma'amidoto al tchunotav, to put it in its proper form, that's called tov. Make sense? Okay. So, when God created the world, lehetiv, that we should be lehetiv, it means to the world will come to its proper form. A man will express his proper form. His proper form is the goodness in him. Le'etiv, to express himself, and obviously the shorish of all goodness is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That means, and that's what we mean, to be domelo. When God created the world with this, these meanings, it means He created this kiviyachol for Himself to le'galot shmotav le'etiv. Man's creativity is the same thing. You understand? Then says Ramchal, lifnim mizeh, even more inside is Legalot Yehudo, to reveal his oneness. You with me? To reveal his oneness. So the revelation of God's oneness is that the world will come to complete union with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There will be just the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. That man will see everything is just the Yehud of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like Rabbi Akiva, when he was caught by the Romans and they combed him with combs of metal combs, and his Talmidim said, Rebbe, Atkan, and he said, because he was Derish, he was the one who was Derish, V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, even no telet nafshecha, if you take your soul. So he said, Achshav bali adi, he was Derish, now it comes to me, Loi kamena, I won't keep it. And then the Gemara says, V'yatzet nishmato be'echad. His soul went out when he said, Kriyat Shema, be'echad. And he reached the concept with the Yitzhiat Nishama Shalo, that the ra in the world, the combing of him, his flesh, with metal combs, he could say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He could see the Yichud of Kodesh Baruch Hu, even in the ra in the world. When you see the ra, yes, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that level of ra, that's called the Yichud. Everything is a Gilu of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. You understand? But it's not something that a person can see necessarily in his lifetime. It's something that at the point of death that can be seen. Basically for us, that's our purpose in life. Those three things. To express our kohot, lehitiv, to go good with them, and to see the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all that happens to us. That even the bad is really tough. That doesn't mean you have to be foolish and say something is bad is good, right? You have to, an avil is an avil, 7 days of shiva, right? You have to be sad, but there's a process through which you go through in which that avelus, you begin to see the tov in it. You begin to lehitiv it. You understand? That even the bad in our lives is really, shorish is in the good. Just as time was the first thing the Kodesh Baruch created, which is really the Siba for creation, the Gilu of that Siba in the world. So now Klal Yisrael are in charge of time, Kivyochol, in the same way the Kodesh Baruch created time. We're in charge, have dominion of time, because we are the vehicle to bring the world to its Tachlis. And that's what's really being said here. So now, when the Greeks were gozer on Klal Yisrael not to sanctify the moon, they were saying, effectively, that there's no Siva, there's no Tachlis, there's no connection, there's no bringing of God's Shechina, His divine presence, into the world. The world is Minutak, there's no Olam Kminago Noheg. Like you were saying, it's just past going to present, randomly. There's no kesher to Tachlis. There's no kesher to a world beyond this world. So that represents Yavan. Right? That makes sense? Shabbos, what does Shabbos represent? Shabbos represents the seventh day. The weekday, we count Yom Rishon the Shabbos, Yom Sheni the Shabbos, right? Shabbos requires Hachana. Shabbos is not like any other festival. Shabbos is a festival that requires preparation. Also, the festivals require preparation, but there's a horror of the festivals without preparation. But Shabbos without preparation, it's not Shabbos. However a person prepares for Shabbos, that's how he feels Shabbos. The more Ruchani you are during the weekday, the more Ruchani is your Shabbos. Shabbos requires Achana, just as if you don't prepare Mrs. If you don't prepare the chamin for Shabbos or the cholent for Shabbos, nisht Shabbos, right? It's not going to be Shabbos. You have to prepare. So, just as you have to prepare the cholent for Shabbos, you have to prepare your spiritual cholent. Otherwise, it's nisht Shabbos. Yeah? It's also brought down the first, why we don't, the Mishnah of the 39 Malachas, it says, Asara Sidure Le Pas, 10 things that you do to pass. And on why? Because Shabbos, we're Me'ein Olam Haba. We're going back, Kivyachol, to Gan Eden. Yes? In Gan Eden, Adam Arishon would have bread that he would pluck. It was a fruit. He was a fruit eater, not a vegetable eater. He was a fruit eater. After the Chedi became a vegetable eater, the time of Noah, he became a meat eater. There was dargas, but now we prepare this pat, this bread, this challah, right? Kivyoch, we don't prepare it on Shabbos, it's already prepared. We eat it on Shabbos, right? We're fixing the Chet of Adam HaRishon. What do we mean by fixing? The Chet of Adam HaRishon, what was Kotz V'Darda Yitzmach, right? It would be, we'd have to toil, b'zeit ha'pecha tochalach. We have to work and toil to remove the kotzim, to remove the ra, it's a biru of the ra. And then when you mevar the ra, you remove the kotzim, you remove the weeds, and you get the wheat, then you have to tochen it, right? You have to, first of all, thresh it, grind it, then you sieve it. You have to refine it until they knead it, until you bring this bread. Right? And this is now prepared for Shabbos. But it requires a lot of avoda, asara sidure depat, 10 processes till you get there. You can understand what those 10 processes are, right? We all know 10 commandments, 10 makot, pasarat ma'amrot nivra olam. There's 10. The 10 processes is a biru of those 10 spheres. And then you get the pat. And that's Shabbos. That's why you have biruchu b'man, biruchu b'lechem. That's the bracha of Shabbos. The bracha of Shabbos comes from the toil during the weekday. And then there's no psalat, there's no ra, because ma'ein olam haba, right? So that's what Shabbos represents. Shabbos represents the connection of the weekday to the tachlis, just as the connection of the 6,000 years to the 7,000, Yimot HaMashiach in olam haba. You understand? So the concept of Shabbos is the concept of the tachlis. Yeah? That's the concept of Shabbos. So it makes sense that the Greeks would be gozer on Shabbos. The spiritual preparation for Shabbos, whatever mitzvahs a person does during the week, it's a build-up to Shabbos. Your tefillahs during the week take you to a higher level. Shabbos is two basic, simple avodas. There's the concept of tefillah on Shabbos and the concept of Suda Shabbos. The Suda Shabbos are very, very special, and the tefillahs of Shabbos are very, very special. So the tefillahs of Shabbos is the pnim of the world, the internal world. And that's why on Motzei Shabbos you say Vi Noam and Havdalah, etc. And that brings the spirituality of your tefillahs into the weekday. And the Sudas of Shabbos, your Malava Malka, brings the Shefa of the Suda of Shabbos, which is connected your Parnasa also, the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem, which was eaten on Shabbos, right? The Shtei Alechem, we know, represents the Shulchan. The Shulchan represents Osher, represents riches. So the bringing of your Sudas of Shabbos into the weekday is your physical Osher, i.e., Im Ein Kemach Ein Terah. So that comes from your Suda, your Malava Malka. It's a big Inyan Malava Malka, right? That's what they say. It's connected refuah, it's connected many, many things. But the concept is, it's the physical concept, the physical shefa that comes from your Sudas of Shabbos. Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha. It has, so to speak, the physical element, the chitzoni element, which is the Sudas of Shabbos. And it has the pnim, which is the tefillahs of Shabbos. Both those shefas brought into the world. Shabbos is the only day, right? It's like this. We build on Shabbos. It goes like this. The first 3 days before Shabbos, you're building up to Shabbos. Then you go on Shabbos, you go up. On Shabbos itself, you go up. Then you come down, right, during the weekday. But you go and come down to zero. Say you start off at zero. Say on Wednesday you start at zero. You go to, say, 10, let's say. So then you come down. You come down to, say, 5. Then you go from 5 till the next Shabbos, you go till 15. Shabbos is a build-up. That means every Shabbos you pass, you're building on yourself. That's the process of Shabbos. That's the purpose of Shabbos, to be this build-up. It's not many mitzvahs. When we had Beis HaMikdash, brought down in Sfarim HaKadoshim, when you did a mitzvah, the ha'ara of that mitzvah would stay with you. That means if you davened the Yom Kippur davening, and you felt good, and you felt close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you felt that kesha would remain with you. It wouldn't. Now the Greeks also were gozer on Bris Milah. What's Bris Milah? The goof, Mitzad Yavan, was perfect. It didn't need to be changed, right? From Chazal, the concept of Bris Milah is to remove the Arelus, i.e. from Chazal, you called an Arel, right? Arel means, from the Russian of Orla, right, by a fruit tree, an Orla, Rashi says, Atima, Itum, disconnection. that means, says in the Rambam, in the Moreh Nevuchim, that the concept of Bris Milah is lema'et the taiva of man, i.e., to remove him from his connection to his physical guf. That man's connection will not be a physical connection to the world. It'll still be physical, but it won't be purely physical. There will be a higher level of that connection to physicality. Would not be a disconnect. It would be an elevation of that physicality. That's what it means not to be an RL. To be an RL means to be someone who's fully connected to the physical world for the physical. When the aura is removed, there's no atima, there's no disconnect. A man's connection is not a purely physical connection, it's an elevated connection. You understand what I mean? So when the Greeks took that away, it's because they wanted, by definition, man's connection to be just a purely physical connection, i.e. all that there is this physical world. Now the final one is La'agmon Tchila. Why is that? So Chazal say, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that a woman, when a man and a woman get married, Asa oto keli, he makes her into a vessel, i.e. she becomes when you say a vessel, you mean she becomes, he makes her functional. When you make something functional, that's called, we said before, that's lehetiv. It's a proper connection, a functional connection. You understand what I'm saying? It means a functional, means it's a proper expression of what a woman is. A woman, you call a kala, just happens to be, a kala has the same sort of letters as kli, keli. A kala is loshen of kol, because malchus is kol, or mikol, it's concept of kol, it's kolel hakol. It's in there is all forms of expression, because malchus means to express that which is expressed in the malchus. So that's what malchus means. So if the connection is, if there's a connection with someone else, right? If la'agmon tchila, there's a break in that connection. That connection is a disconnected connection. And that's what they wanted. They wanted to make a disconnect in the Jewish marriage. I.e. there'd be, it's the same concept as when the Nachash wanted to connect with Chava. And that really in Chazal, the Chet of Adam HaRishon, according to Arizal, was the Nachash and Adam HaRishon connecting at the same time. I.e. that's the concept, the Yetzirah being within man. That's the Ari says. That the Chet of Adam HaRishon was that he was Mizdavig on Yom Chol, and on the weekday, he should have eaten from the Eitz Hadas, but the eating from the Eitz Hadas should have been on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, there's no psolet, there's no bad. So on the weekday, when you're connecting, there's a mu'urav tovara. That means, in our terms, the connection of the Nachash and man to Chava, i.e., that's the concept of the Nachash being within man. The Nachash was, so to speak, the anti-man. And Shabbos was supposed to be a time where there was no Nachash. And there was just Adam and Chava. You understand what I'm saying? That's why, it's a machlokas, but that's why the first children that were born were Mu'urav Tov Ra. Kain represents the Shorosh of all Ra. And Hevel had a Chelek Tov, but he also was Mu'urav Tov Ra. That's why he had to be killed and he had to come in a Gilgal. The Baal in Hevel was Ra and the Hay in Hevel was good. But okay, it doesn't matter, that's a separate thing. But the Tov had to be Mitbarer, had to become, and it finally came in Avram Avinu, in Shem, in Avram, in Moshe. The Gilgul of Hevel, the Hevel is the Shorish of all good. But it was Mu'ur of Tovara because when Adam was connected with his wife, it was on a weekday. It was when there was Mu'ur of Tovara. The words Yavan, right, is Yud, which is Machshava, Vav, which is coming to what? Nun. But Nun, this Nun is Nun to bring down. There's Nun, which represents to elevate man. Nun Shari Bina, which represents Matan Torah, the 50th day. There's a Nun to bring down. Nun Shari Tuma. Because they're connected to us, Alakim. I had to take man's Machshava and bring it into the world and bring it to the lowest parts of the world. I.e., the disconnect is what's the concept of Yavan. And someone told me today, Dafka, the words Yavan, if you take it the other way around, is Noi, is beauty. And anyone who understands the concept, this concept of beauty, the chain of Yosef, came to fight the Yavan. So to speak, the Yavan comes from Yefet. It represents the beauty of the physical world for its physicality. Yosef represents the beauty, the internal beauty. The internal beauty of Rachel, the internal beauty of Yosef. That internal beauty, not the external beauty. That's why it's not stam, Chazal say, it sounds like a silly thing that Chazal say. Chas v'sham says that Yosef misalsel b'sa'arot, he was combing his hair, and says, what, your father's avel and you're combing your hair? Like it sounds as if he's like this, some sort of like, you know, this like girly chap who's combing his hair in front of the mirror to look nice for whoever, I don't know what. No. Yosef represented the beauty of Klal Yisrael. But if that beauty was just an external beauty, or if there was a focus on the external beauty, then there needs to be an itorarut of the internal beauty. There was a worry that Yosef was going to lose his internality. And this whole thing was that Yosef would find his internal beauty, would come back to that internal beauty. Because Chas v'Shalom, that could have been lost b'Beit Shel Potiphar. And Yosef, we'll always find him in a bo. We'll always find him in a bad situation. He always comes out of it. And Yosef always, you always see in Chazal, Matza Chen Be'enei. He always finds Chen. Chen says, Likuti Moran means, Chen is for Chochma, Nun, Yenun, is for Malchus. When the Chochma connects, when man's Chochma connects with Malchus, then there's Chen. That's in the Shem Avai, the name, God's name. You have the Yud. The first He is He Vav, because it's expression of the Vav afterwards. But the last He is He Yud. When the Yud is expressed in the He, in the Malchus, that's the expression of God's name. And when Yosef, the Chen of Yosef, finds the Yofi of Yavan, yes? I.e., when we show that the physical world has an internal component, has a metaphysical world, that's a Siba for the physical, that's the fight of Yavan. The Choshech of Yavan is lit up with the Vihi Or of Chanukah, the Or of Chanukah. That Or of Chanukah is taking the physical world and showing its internal beauty. That internal beauty is what Yavan tried to negate. They tried to remove us from the connection to the real concept of time, the real concept of Tachlis, the real concept of Shabbos. Like the Shabbos is the Tachlis of the weekday. The real concept of Bris Mila, that we're not just physical connection. And the concept of marriage, right, which is a zivug, which is a not a physical concept. It's a very spiritual concept. And that chibur would be a proper chibur, would be a proper connection. Choshech of Yavan, the darkness of Yavan, which Chazal derish, Choshech Yavan, right, is nitkan vayehi or of Parshas Bereishis, which we were saying before. The Shem Yishmul says the Kaf Hei Elo, when we said V.E.O., which was Hayom Harat Olam, the pregnancy of the world came into being into expression 3 months later when Hukah Havlad, when a woman after 3 months you recognize she's pregnant. It's Hukah Havlad, says Chazal. The Hukah Havlad of the V.E.O., the Or HaGanuz, was revealed in Chanukah. And that revelation of that awe removes the choshech of yan, says the Chasam Sofer. Many people says the gilui of Pnimiyas HaTorah was mitgale, was revealed on Chanukah. Because the metaphysics comes to reveal the physics, i.e. that there's a pnim to the physical world. There's a beyond the physical, there's a spiritual world which gives reason for the physical world. And that's the beauty of Yosef. That's why Mashiach ben Yosef, the Arizal, was Mashiach ben Yosef. The concept of Yosef is the gilui of Chochmas HaPnimis, the inner Torah. That's the fight that we have in Yavan. And that's the fight we're going to have. This is the last fight. The last fight with Esav is not a fight. It's not a war. Esav says, Esav, you know, the Western world is a hemshech of Yavan. Open our doors. Be like us. Live like us. Behave like us. That's the final fight of the Jewish people. Chas v'shalom, a Jew can lose his identity and become like the nations of the world. That's the final fight, and that's the hardest fight, because it's not even a fight. They're telling you we're your brothers, and then we can lose ourselves. And if you learn in Chazal said very clearly that after all the matanas that Yaakov gave to Esav, then Esav says, come, let's go together. And Yaakov says, no, Hatzon, the children, the Tzon are weak. If they come with you, they'll die, they'll lose it. That's the final fight of Esav. And that's why we need the Neiros of Chanukah to meir in our lives, to give light in our lives, that we don't live just a physical life, the purely physical, rather we see the pnim of what we do. We're focused on our spiritual, and the physical is just an expression of that spiritual. And that's what a Jew is. A Jew is to bring that light. That's what we said, that's the first bits of the Torah, Israel, to bring that Shechina into the world. That's the concept of the Jew being the creator of time, to give a Siba and a Tachlis, a purpose, the creation. All these things are ways of connection. All of these things are sides of connection. Connecting the concept of time, right? So that we have dominion over time in terms of the monthly time, the weekly time, connecting the week to a tachlis, right? These are all. Now, the physical body, right? Mila is it's really Mila, to explain it properly, Mila really is what happens on this eighth day. Like Chanukah's 8 days, Mila's 8 days, the Maharal says what eight? Yemei Bina, Yemei Shmona. Bina is Shmona. The eighth day is the connection to the metaphysical, to the Olam Haba. Bina is called Olam Haba. That's what it's called. So the connection to the metaphysical is on the eighth day. On the Bris Milah, the neshama of a child comes into him. That's what happens on a Bris Milah. It's not just time you remove the aura. Now, that you, because you're not disconnected, so you can be connected to your true self. That's the connection of the neshama to the guf. Then, on the concept of zivug, husband and wife, that's also me'ein olam haba. That's a spiritual connection. All of these things are connections. The family connection, the neshama connection, the bein adam chaver, the neshama, and the connection of Shabbos to the weekday. Yeah? That's in terms, and the connection to the tachlis, that we're the creators of time. We embody and express time. You understand? They're all different forms of the same connection. They're all to be mimayet, or to mekalkel Klal Yisrael's ability to connect the physical to the spiritual. That's what these gezeiros represent. But of course, Lashicham Torotecha, right? Mitzvotecha, chukotecha. They wiped out everything. These were just pinnacles that Chazal picked out to explain to us what they were doing. Okay, so Kiddush HaChodesh represents the Marechet of the month. Kiddush HaChodesh is associated with the formulation of the Jewish month. That's why the beginning of the year, the monthly beginning of the year, is Pesach. It's the festival start with Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, right? That's the beginning of the year, so to speak, in terms of the festival years, right? That's the concept. Those are concepts of, those are periods of time of connection with our Creator. Shabbos is also the period of time of the weekday of connection to our Creator. So Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, in that sense, are similar. Just that's on the concept of the festivals, and that's concept of the weekday, of connecting our weekday to Shabbos, of connecting our months to the festivals, okay. Right? The connection with our Creator. That's a connection with our Creator. The Bris Milah, right, is the connection to the Neshama, to the soul, right? That's what Bris Milah represents. We're not a physical goof. We're a goof which has the expression, we're not ne'etam, we're not disconnected from who we are. We're an expression of our soul. That's why Bris Milah, the eighth day, a child gets his neshama on that eighth day. Of course, he has a basic nefesh, but his neshama actually comes into him on that eighth day. That's a connection of a higher spiritual self, right? That represents man and himself. Then there's this concept of the Agamon Tchila, right? That's the Zivug. That's the Chosen and Kala. Chosen and Kala is the Shorish of Ben Adam L'Chaveira. That connection is the Shorish of Ben Adam L'Chaveira. It's written in Eishes Chayil. We say Eishes Chayil every week. It's on three aspects of man. Man and his fellow man, which is man and his wife. Man and his creator, which is the Torah, which here, this sense, is going to be the festivals, the Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. And man and himself, his neshama, which is also his Ishus. That's going to be the Bris Milah. The man's not just this physical body. Man embodies within him the spiritual self. He's not ne'etam, he's not an arel. He's not disconnected from the higher world. So those, even though they're four here, right, they're really in a certain sense three. Just that in the marechet of time, we have the marechet of the chagim, and we have the marechet of the weekday. In terms of Rosh Hashanah is for the weekday. That's why it's Rosh Hashanah. But in terms of the Rosh Hashanah for the festivals, the beginning is either later of Klaus was Pesach. Pesach always should come before Shavuos, and then Shavuos, after Shavuos, is Sukkot, right? Rosh Hashanah is the Marechet of the year in terms of the week, in a certain sense. It's a different concept of creation. It's not exactly true. It's not exactly true. It's really even in the Marechet of the festivals. Rosh Hashanah is one of the festivals, right? So it's not completely true what I'm saying. But in terms of when we think of the Tachlis Abriya, in terms of Rosh Hashanah being the sixth day of creation, and the world should have come to Shabbos, so on Rosh Hashanah we're, so to speak, judged on how much we've come to Shabbos, how much we're bringing the world to Shabbos, to Olam Haba, in that sense.